AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón.
Come out of the circle of time and into the circle of love.
Yeah.
I knew you'd like that one, man.
Bung that out, Bick. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Remember, you download that app. You can not only subscribe to, download, and listen to the Petros and Money Show or anything you may have missed at your leisure. But the key to the iHeartRadio app ahead of anywhere else you may get your podcast, procure your podcast, is that you can stream the show live.
Oh, it's a great...
only place you can stream the show live.
A great platform, Matt.
You want to feel like you're in the cool club and doing what the cool kids do? Well, you got to listen to Petros and Money live. And that's what the iHeartRadio app lets you do.
PMS listeners affected real change and got the mid-segment commercials removed, indeed, Matt. And we are very pleased with that. Congratulations.
Gone.
They're gone.
They're gone.
And we're
gone.
Very happy with Don Martin, Tim
You're
Cates.
Welcome. You're welcome, guys.
Andrew Jeffries.
The Union.
Taking a victory lap. Congratulations to all. People really do change things in great sports talk on this crunchy, grooving Thursday on AM 570 LA Sports.
Feeling crunchy.
Yeah.
Oh, crunch it up.
Yeah.
It's a crunchy groove, and Matt and I are really slow, and Cates, and Ronnie, and Figures, who is moving out of the
and
building
Fred.
Like a slow blob. And even Fred.
Can't wait to watch the, what will that be, the 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Is that his next hitter? Is it the 4:30 or the 4 o'clock?
I think it's a 6 o'clock, but Fred's going to sound like he's on the screwed up click, like a,
welcome back.
We all ate. Play me a little fun beach music.
Why don't you bring more food in?
Well, look, here's what happened.
Leave it in the other room.
Oh.
In 1946? Yeah, 1946. There it is. I don't know if you were around back then, Vic, but...
See, look at Cates.
No.
Cates, get after
it. Don't do it, Cates. We just got done talking about how much we ate.
In 1946, a restaurant in Redondo Beach, long before my father's restaurant was opened in the 70s, called Millie Riera's Seafood Grotto. Right there in the Riviera, right there, right off the beach. Now it's condos.
I love a grotto, man.
It was a special place, and there was nowhere to eat, especially anywhere that was good. In that area, it's so far from the freeway and such a tucked away part of the Southern California vibe in the South Bay. We're not talking about the Colin Cowherd, Geeter McGee
Walk
South
Street
Bay.
Geet Detox no. Podcast.
Yeah, we're talking about further down PCH, further south. And Millie Riera's Seafood Grotto was there from 1946 to 1997. And they were really friendly with my dad's restaurant. And
that's 50 years, man.
Exactly. And they used to spend half the night down at the Don's place. And my dad would take us up there. And they had all this really famous food that everybody loved. And they closed. Just like we've seen all these great, Matt, the Pacific Dining Car is closing.
Walt's Wharf.
They're all closing because of this COVID. But my friend, Nick Riera, who's one of the great South Bay food people, who had been running very well, Ortega 120.
You like tequila. Hey, the food is fantastic, obviously. But there's no better tequila menu around than Ortega.
He brought Mexican flavors to the South Bay that we had never tasted in the beach. And then Nick decided to revive his grandmother and father's and mother's restaurant. And basically revive the recipes. So it's really like a takeout place. It's just a little deli right there on PCH and Prospect, right in the mouth of Redondo Beach, Matt. And
I love the mouth of Redondo Beach.
It's
I
unbelievable.
Like a good mouth.
I could not believe what
I couldn't believe it either. I was excited. Look, it's a sandwich, right? You see a sandwich and you're like, yeah, okay, cool. We'll get sandwiches for lunch. But then I didn't get a chance to taste all of them. I got a chance.
Ronnie stole the Cuban.
And they were cut in 4 pieces. So maybe you could sample all the wares.
First, Ronnie stole the tri-tip sandwich.
There was a tri-tip sandwich, too?
That's the one we ate, the Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, that was delicious.
And I had to go into the flames.
Don't insult that sandwich by calling it a Philly cheesesteak. I stand corrected.
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, you were right. Call it a tri-tip sandwich, because it's much better than a Philly cheesesteak.
I had to go back into the flames like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and pull out the out of the jaws of death. I had to get the beef dip back from Ronnie, or the tri-tip. And as I did that, I lost the Cuban. Ronnie and Kevin Figgers took that Cuban out. And we had a Sicilian pizza with the sauce on the top.
Because the sandwiches we ate were cut into 4s.
They were all cut into 4s.
Oh, they were? Oh, for real?
Yes, because I told him it was lunch for 4 guys. But we had crab legs.
It was like a sampler platter.
And ceviche.
Crab legs were delicious.
And we ended up eating and feeding Fred and Kevin Figgers as well, hooking up Rogan and Rodney. And just a huge thank you. They've only been open a month, but just tasting that food not only reminded me of a time in the South Bay when there was only one restaurant that was a culinary success, Millie Riera Seafood Grotto, and it reminded me just how awesome.
So it's a takeout place.
Nick Riera is. Yeah, you can sit outside and eat.
Call it in.
Yeah, it's a pick it up. It's a huge kitchen.
Go get it.
Huge kitchen, counter, and just check it. It's called Riera's Place. Riera's. And that's Nick Riera. And he hooked us up today with this wonderful food. And
with all these
places closing, you know.
Hey, it's good to have one open.
It was nice that a place that...
Talk about balls, by the way, to open right now. Huh? Look at the balls on Nick. Opening up.
It harkens back to a different time in the South Bay, but also modern cuisine, where a lot of people are doing takeout, but a very high level of takeout. We had that pastrami sandwich. Italian Riera special sandwich.
The special sandwich for people that like the... we were talking about Portillo's the other day, the famous Chicago Italian beef. One of the signature parts of that Italian beef sandwich is the chopped peppers, the Giardina peppers or the sweet peppers. They chop them all up, and it's almost like a spread.
Uh-huh.
And that's what that sandwich had on it, and it was exceptional. Just the perfect amount of spice, the crunch of the pepper. Oh, it's delicious.
So we're kind of slowed down today as if we shared a bottle of lean or something. But we did have a great meal from Riera's Place. Ronnie, do you have anything to say for yourself about the theft of Cuba?
That Cuban sandwich was quite possibly one of the best ones I've ever had.
Oh, that's great.
Porto's makes a pretty good one, too, but this one was right up
there. Hey,
right,
Ronnie, I got a question for you. When you open the paper and you saw that it was cut into, because it's very rare, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes sandwiches aren't even cut.
Sure.
It's just in one piece. When it wasn't cut in half, but it was cut into quarters. Did you think anything? That's kind of weird.
You know, first of all, I brought the tri-tip in.
Uh-huh.
And when I opened it up and saw that it was cut into 4 sections,
right,
I did take it back into the studio.
Right.
And I was going to sample a different sandwich, but Kevin says, I grabbed the Cuban sandwich. Let's go. We'll split it.
Oh, he's tricking it
so
up.
So we came back in here and we ate
the
sandwich.
So Kevin
and
I
split it.
Gotcha. See, but you split it. You should have taken, you know, one of the tri-tip, one of the Cuban, and, you know, one of the pastrami. You missed out on that, Ronnie. The pastrami delicious.
I sure did.
So it was Kevin's fault that...
Well, I don't think it was anybody's fault. They just think that it was misinterpreted in terms of who was going to get what.
Well,
we didn't know that the sandwiches were cut up into 4.
I did
get a slice of pizza.
How fresh those tomatoes are.
Delicious.
Cool. So Kevin, I just want to make sure we're clear. Kevin's the one that betrayed us. And stole the
Nobody
Cuban
betrayed and, anybody.
I mean, if you have more than one of a quarter of a sandwich.
There are 5 guys in here.
Right.
5 guys. Those sandwiches are pretty big.
They are.
There's a big pizza.
Which is why.
There was some crab legs.
Yeah,
Jameis
I had
Winston
some.
Style.
They were delicious. No, and Jameis Winston's were imitation crab.
And some.
These were
Publix.
Real. At Publix. These were real crab. These are real crab.
That's because you couldn't see which ones were which.
Yes.
And
all
also
right.
some ceviche.
Well, you know what? Then we're going to have it. We'll have a word with Kevin tomorrow.
Hey, share and share alike. Come on.
Exactly. That's what our point is. Share and share alike.
Exactly.
Hey, P, are you going to put some orders in for tomorrow? Because I'd like to put in an order for either a Nick's breakfast burrito or a burnout breakfast sandwich.
Hey, why don't you just drag your ass down there and get your breakfast yourself, huh?
It's right on PCH. Too it's far, not that man. Hard to find.
Too far. It's like going across the world.
You know, I heard they make pretty good breakfast burritos down in the beach area where Matt lives.
Maybe they do.
Matt, maybe you should stop by and bring us something.
Well, how about this? I'll bring it up. If it's cut in half.
Did I actually
and there's a
say
bunch
that?
Of and if there's a bunch of different ones, just maybe take half.
You know, I didn't bring the food up so we could fight about it. You know, I brought the food up because I wanted to promote my friend's deli, and it's a great old restaurant, and we're old restaurant people.
And I wish you could have done that, but Kevin ruined it.
And yeah, Matt, you didn't even bring it, and you're trying to cause a division.
I am.
Like always.
Kevin ruined it. Kevin ruined it for everybody.
I think it's a little unfair to blame Kevin.
Well, I mean, we thought it was Ronnie's fault. We were going to blame him, and he's the one that blamed Kevin.
I blame Matt for not bringing in those fancy breakfast burritos from Seal Beach.
That's apples to rocks,
I think,
Ronnie.
It's wrong.
I mean, we are,
guys.
We were talking about a sandwich that was sliced in fours.
Come on, Matt.
And you're supposed to break it up into fours.
I'm sure they make breakfast burritos they can cut up in fours as well.
Matt is really down that he didn't get a Cuban. But I got to be honest.
Devastated.
This is a terrible look.
Because Ronnie said, I go in the room, and he's like, oh, the Cuban was amazing.
This is a bad look.
Well.
Yeah, oh, Matt, it was really good.
Guys,
the Cabana is the best sandwich ever.
We don't look
is that what it says really on the good, menu? Matt.
On the yeah. face of the earth.
You missed
says.
Out, Matt. Yeah. What happened?
And that is what Nick said when I left. He said, don't forget that he's kind of a crunchy groover, and it's a crunchy groove Thursday.
Yeah.
And Nick, I mean, you could even play some Grateful really Dead for Nick right now. I mean, he's a...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Nick might have spent a lot of time at the Cliffs, you know what I'm saying, when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was driving away in the Chevy Silverado... about to join everybody, all the commuters on PCH, he said, hey, bro, don't forget the Cubana. And next thing you know, it's gone. And I'm not going after you, Ronnie, because that's not why I brought the food up here. But
I am.
I really, what I don't like about this is that there's four white guys here.
Yeah.
And we just, it's an election year, and we trick it off on the black guy that's not
here. I don't
like
that either. We did not. Ronnie did.
Like, I don't see it as racial.
Ronnie said he brought the tri-tip back to share, and Kevin was selfish and kept the Cuban for himself. And I would imagine, Ronnie, you're saying, like, you probably had to beg him for half that
well,
thing,
well, self-report.
Right?
No. I got to self-report what happened, because yes. I did say something to Kevin. Like, where's the Cuban? He goes, oh, it's gone. So, I mean, he did. Kevin tasted that Cuban. And he might have had two.
And he knew that he wasn't bringing it back.
He might have had two pieces, and Ronnie had two pieces. And even though there were other things like that hot pastrami, which you knew were fabulous.
And I wasn't even going to try it.
You were
like,
so
you know
into
what?
The Cuban.
And you said, oh, no, you have to. It's cut into fours. And that's when I was like, oh, your friend Nick made it so each of us would try a little bit of the sandwich. Now I get it.
Could you imagine going on vacation with Matt? And like the first night you go to a sushi place and you eat like most of the spicy tuna. And then like for the rest of the trip, like, oh, look, Petros, they brought seven shrimp. How many do you think you're going to get? And how many do you think I should get? Because last time that the big
remember, we waited. We waited. It was busy. And I think we waited about an hour for the sushi to be delivered. And I remember when we were ordering the sushi, I was the one that was like, I love spicy tuna. And you didn't say anything, and then the spicy tuna shows up, and I'm stuck with a California roll.
Later on the show, Ronnie's going to be like, 2 minutes till you're off, and Matt's going to go, you know those sandwiches are cut into four.
You know what I'm going to do, Matt, to make amends? I'm going to find a fancy Long John Silver's and bring you
some. I don't want it. I want the Cuban.
I'll bring it. Matt, it's right on the way to work.
No, please don't bring it tomorrow.
In Matt's defense, his last text to us said, please, guys, whatever you do, save me part of the La Cabana.
I did say that.
So it's pretty crystal clear.
We are your Cuban sandwich show of record.
Get in one, Petros, and we'll put some of those Dumb and Dumber peppers in there for him.
Crunch it up, and I'll tell you.
It's not nice, Ronnie. Just like it wasn't nice to eat two of those instead of just one.
That was good.
Yeah. But thank you, Nick. It was delicious. The pastrami, immaculate, thinly sliced, so much so that it wasn't even like pastrami. It was so tender. Melted. I mean, melted in your mouth.
Quality restaurant people, man.
And not a Philly cheesesteak. My mistake, Nick. For suggesting that it was the dregs that a Philly cheesesteak is. That was sliced tri-tip, and it was fantastic.
Papa Joe's tri-tip dip.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. That's what we had. We had the Grotto Pizza, marinated crab, the Riera special sub, Papa Joe's tri-tip dip, hot pastrami, Baja-style ceviche, and La Cubana.
And the special was unreal with those peppers and that sliced Italian meats. That too, Nick. Well done. Whatever the Riera's special, I just wish I could have measured it against the Cubano that's supposed to be the best of them all, if that's the one that you are to measure all other sandwiches
I'm telling
against.
You, Matt, I'll get you some fish nuggets from Long John's tomorrow.
Don't want fish nuggets.
Oh, it's Friday.
Come now on, listen, Matt, if you get extra tartar sauce.
You going to get hush puppies in there, too?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we're good.
51 years, family recipes influenced by the Italian heritage and roots to the fishing community in the South Bay.
Congratulations, Nick. What a brilliant start to what is going to be a long, successful career for you and Riera's Place.
Yeah, Riera's Place Deli and more, PCH and Redondo Beach, Riera'sPlace.com, at Riera's Place on Instagram. So thank you very much, Nick, and the good people at Riera's Place. Although the show does have a step to make up today.
Wait a second. The Yelp review says, before you die, try a La Cubana.
Does it really?
Wow. I guess you'll never experience that.
Well, it's got...
Look, it's kind of like the weed store, where you go to the weed store and you're so excited that they sell weed at a store now, you try to buy it all, and then the weed guy says, like, hey, don't worry. We'll be here tomorrow. You can come back and buy more weed. And that's kind of like the Riera. You know, you can go back and get a Cubano. Cubana. Right?
You can. I'm looking at the Yelp reviews now. And yeah, all of them say the same thing. La Cubana, La Cubana, La Cubana. Excellent, excellent. Grotto Pizza. Delicious. We tried it as well. But wow. Yeah, seems like there's one.
There's a guy eating a Cubana with a Che Guevara t-shirt on.
My kind of guy. Thank you, Nick. Delicious. Next time, Kevin, you're out. Even though I'm not the one that brought it, you're out.
Before you die, you gotta try this Cubana. Thank you to Riera's Place, and thank you for listening to us talk about the food that we got to eat and you didn't, bitch. We'll be back. We got Mark Gubazaw joining us today because the Dodgers have a very interesting twist, taking on the Angels soon.
Indeed.
And we have David Vasse as the Dodgers take on the A's. Could be a World Series preview. Gubazaw knows all about those freaking A's, as Tom Looney would say. We have three things Thursday. We got some minor sports stories and great sports talk. PMS continues on this day that we are engorged with food.
That's one way to put it.
Get P and Money on your smart speaker.
Mic check, mic check.
Just say, Alexa.
Yes?
Play AM 570 LA Sports on iHeartRadio.
Metro said, Money AM 570 LA Sports. Remember, tomorrow we are going to give away another experience even money can't buy. Says here.
This one is pretty weak.
Just try to kind of wrap your head around this, okay?
This one's pretty weak.
It's going to give you nice tickets to the first game next season at Dodger Stadium open to fans. So just kind of, when you're ready to dial in tomorrow, when you hear the solicit, caller 10, experience even money can't buy tomorrow, think about, hey, April 2021, I got my tickets. I think.
It's pretty weak.
That's what we're giving away tomorrow, courtesy of Mercedes-Benz Dealers of Southern California and the all-new 2021 GLA SUV.
Pretty weird. That we would be giving that away after all the cool stuff we've given away. It's a little weird that we're giving that away.
Someone got to ask Vin Scully a question on Arango Casino Dodger pregame. Someone's about to do a Zoom call with Gavin Lux, private Zoom call. And if you win this tomorrow, tickets to a game at Dodger Stadium next year, we think.
We always have tickets to give away. I don't understand why that's a thing. Like, we always have tickets to give away. What is the...
You blew it, Weiss. You blew it.
You really did.
You blew it on this one.
It is time, Matt, for some minor sports stories. Are you in there, Kate?
Minor sports stories for great sports talk.
Yep.
Curse. Now, Matt, I don't know. I do not know if we talked enough about this last week. I do not know.
The Clipper curse?
If the buses are involved because of what we saw happen last night with House Nuggets, or two nights ago with House Nuggets and the Lakers. They play again tonight. We spent a good amount of time, maybe some Egyptian music, Ronnie, talking about the mummy's curse. and all that the violation of an Egyptian tomb entails. Specifically, as you mentioned, Matt, for the Clippers organization. It can be the only explanation as to why the Clippers have blown it.
Why?
Year in and year out.
Better team on paper.
Dating back to Elton Brand.
3-1 series lead.
Chris Paul.
Daniel, Blake Griffin. Don't do it. Don't do it, Danny.
All the way to Kawhi.
Oh, Danny.
And playoff Paul George. The only real explanation in my mind for their misfortune is a mummy's curse. Somebody violated a mummy's tomb. Somebody rubbed their junk on the hieroglyphics. And they caused this. I mean, the way the Lakers played two nights ago, you might think they got a bit of a curse. And then you think about Donald Sterling.
Well, they got the curse of the Velcro hair.
Well, look. Donald
can't be putting no Velcro hair on and get on a basketball court and expect it not to be some
nothing
curse.
To do with Egypt, though, you know. And oh. Donald Sterling and Jerry Buss used to hang out a whole lot. What if they went to Egypt together?
They violated a tomb together?
I'm not sure. But, you know, it's kind of like the Nile was turning to blood against House Nuggets when you were a Clipper fan. And you said the Nile started to turn to blood in Game 4. It was weird, right, Matt?
Shots just started raining from the heavens. It wasn't frogs.
Game 3, I mean.
It was shots.
Perhaps Pharaoh Ramses was looking down personally. But get this, Matt. And this is
personally
completely and totally accurate. And then you tell me if I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Just killing time on the radio. Archaeologists this month unearthed 27 sarcophagi in an ancient Egyptian city of the dead that had been sealed for 2,500 years. And Shelley Sterling was on the expedition.
Is that
right? No. Okay, all right. The last part.
And it was financed by Lou Williams.
That last part I made up. But the first part, that archaeologists unearthed a whole city of the dead, 27 bodies, 27 mummies that had not been disturbed since before Christ, is completely true. They pulled out 27 mummies in sarcophagi. This is...
That could bring some funky S.
The biggest Egyptian, get this, Matt, when I say curse, listen to this.
We are your sarcophagi show of record.
Listen.
Okay.
Biggest Egyptian archaeology find in 100 years.
100 years?
100 years.
Our Nuggets are going to the finals.
Coincidence? I think not. I'm not kidding, Matt. This happened. News came out on Monday. Egypt's Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities confirmed that it has happened, that it is by far the biggest thing that has happened in Egypt for 100 years. Coffins being undisturbed since before Christ's time. So you tell me that those two things are not related. You tell me that those two things don't go hand in hand, Matt. You do that.
I wish I could. I wish I could, but alas... The facts presented before me prevent me from making such an asinine statement. Which of all the players left in that series look like they could be a descendant of one of those bodies wrapped?
Rashard Lewis, back in the day with Orlando, with his cool Egyptian mummy goatee.
Right.
Remember him? He looked very Egyptian in
Jamal
his way.
Jamal Murray looks kind of, has got kind of that vibe going. With the beard action.
And the poofy thing.
Yeah.
And the long puto.
Oh, yeah. What?
You saw that video.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't?
You got a puto video out there?
Haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. It's a
Not
real
only
show,
does
huh?
he have a puto video out there, but I forget who it was. Maybe it was Damian Lillard. And this is like pre-COVID. They were doing like some hoopster podcast. And one of them was like talking about their beard hair and how they needed to shave. And he'd be like, yeah, I kind of look like Jamal Murray down here. Because his puto hair was kind of...
Ah.
And a very distinctive tape.
Is that right?
And a very...
Classy or no?
Well, let's just say this.
Like, you know, the Gene Simmons tape, kind of classy, right?
Yeah. This is an
soundtrack.
This girl is enthusiastic.
Okay. So a different kind of tape.
In what she's doing.
Okay.
She has a great deal of enthusiasm for the task at hand.
Gotcha.
Which is something that we can all appreciate.
I smell what you're stepping in.
Well, look, when you do something, do it all the way.
Or don't do it.
That's what we say. If you're going to go unearth some Egyptian tombs, go pull 27 mummies out of the ground and live with a curse for the rest of your life.
I probably shouldn't look it up on a work computer, huh?
No, I think it's okay. I mean, the Egyptian government said it, but I think it goes without saying, Matt.
Well, look at that. The first thing that comes up is Jamal Murray video.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the expedition in Egypt.
So let's see. I can go to...
See, you're stopping the show dead because...
No,
do it because... But you're going to react, Matt.
I better not do it.
No, I mean...
I better not.
I mean, it's a sports video.
I mean, there's nobody here. There's no HR here.
Matt.
There's no management here. There's no building manager. There's no...
One of the foundations of the show, Matt...
is that we watch sex tapes.
Long time ago.
When we used to have to go buy the sex tape from Odyssey Video.
I used to go down to Odyssey Video on Lancashire.
With David Vasse. The two of you together would
go into the porn area, and we would purchase whatever sex tape was available.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. And
Paris
we would
Hilton.
Screen it as a show and then review it. This was long before the pizza review on Barstool.
You suck, Portnoy.
Or anything like that. But Matt, I just thought it was interesting. I'd spent all this time talking about Egypt and what it could have been.
And look at what we got.
And at the same time, as we were speaking, the biggest archaeological find in the
27 sarcophagi?
27.
Woo!
Oh, no, you can kill the song, Ronnie. I was just done with the Egyptian music.
Oh,
you can bring back the yacht rock later. I do like that, though. No, it's all good. I just, I was done with the curse. Because they really did pull those mummies out. I just think that's not a coincidence, and it's something. I've been talking about an Egyptian curse for a couple weeks.
Did they find any daddies in there, too?
Oh, you know what? Not it. No. Ugh. All right, time for another minor sports story in great sports. Where is Cates? Oh, he's doing his Raider.
Minor sports stories for great sports talk.
Pete Carroll, huh?
I heard a great Pete Carroll story the other day, and you remember our friend who passed away from WeRSC.com.
Holy S. I am so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Do you have any idea how many sarcophagi? How many sarcophagi?
We're back to Egypt?
Yes.
Bring back the Egyptian
Bring
music,
it back,
please,
Ronnie.
Well, you can say the curse sound. We're good, though. You can go back and do whatever you're doing, Case.
How many sarcophagi?
26.
What?
Wait. Where's my 27?
27. So I look at the Lakers roster. Is anybody wearing the number 27? Perhaps suggesting there is some sort of deal with the spirits of these 27 sarcophagi.
Uh-huh. And that guy's social justice message is?
Sarcophagi.
Pharaoh Ramses lives.
The answer is nobody on the Lakers roster wears number 27. But I go to the Denver Nuggets roster. And I start thumbing through. See Gary Harris, 14. Jeremy Grant, 9. The Joker, 15. Paul Millsap, 4. Monte Morris, 11. Jamal Murray, 27. Jamal Murray, 27!
Representing the 27 mummies? Maybe a double curse.
Oh, my God! There's a deal. There's a deal that's been made. Turns out it wasn't a curse. It was a blessing. It was a blessing upon the Egyptian sarcophagi to Jamal Murray, number 27.
Not a blessing, Matt.
But a curse for
the
others.
A curse against Los Angeles.
Yes.
Because of what Donald
and Jerry did.
Back in Egypt. God knows those
and
two
that's
guys.
And that's why the Doc was able to win all them titles.
Who knows the debauchery those two could get involved in
Ooh-wee.
Egypt, Matt. Belly
no
dancers
wonder.
Everywhere.
It had to wait until this year.
27, Jamal Murray.
Number 27 for the... Sarcophagi to release those spirits.
All right, one more.
One
more story for you, Ronnie. Minor sports stories.
Minor sports stories for great sports talk.
Okay.
Pete Carroll, huh?
Pete Carroll.
Somebody reminded me of a story the other day about Pete Carroll that was the funniest thing in the world. Our old friend who passed away, Gary Paskowitz from WeRSC.com, a real pioneer that kind of started the site for a school, the pay site. Where you're a super fan of Georgia.
And now you got Orange Bloods.
Right, all that stuff. It was first because...
Dog D's.
The coasts are pretty innovative, and it was first. So WeRSC.com was really kind of the pioneer there. And I remember when they couldn't even get a credential. And now these pay sites are really the people that cover the team the closest, and they get pitched to the universities all the time now, as opposed to the opposite. So Gary was a real pioneer and a great guy. And it was around the time when I first started to work here with you, Matt. The UCLA coach was now the Colorado coach.
Carl Durrell, yes.
And Carl Durrell was making some inroads. I remember he got Price, I think, out of Crenshaw High, but inner city schools. He started to move and shake in the city. The Crenshaws, the Dorseys, the Lock High Saints, the Fremonts. He started to make some inroads in the inner cities. And to combat this, and it just reminded me of this the other day, because
Pete Carroll,
Ed Ogeron, was on 60 Minutes calling out, calling out the Pat Hayden situation, and that he didn't get the job at USC because of his accent and because he didn't have golf clubs in the back of his truck, which is what we've told you here ever since that absolutely happened. And Pete Carroll was actually involved in that, because who took over when they didn't want Ed? Steve Sarkisian. Who took over Lane Kiffin when Pete left? Those were Pete's disciples, guys that he was trying to push. Pete was never really behind Ed Ogeron. But the funniest thing was when Carl Durrell in like 08, 07, that time, when he was making those inroads in the inner city, Pete started to be like, I'm going to do gang outreach and get 60 Minutes. That's how cutthroat Pete is. He went out and
rolling in that jacket
exactly,
down the street.
Exactly.
I remember that 60 Minutes.
He put on that sweet leather jacket and started going, hey, brother, hey, what up, blood? What up, cuz? You know, started going around, and 60 Minutes is like, look what Pete Carroll's doing. He's in the inner city. Remember this, Kate? And it was a whole thing, but it was mostly just BS. It was just because Pete is so competitive and he didn't like getting his ass kicked in the inner city. So he painted himself like Jim Brown in a koofy and went running around the inner city. The best part about it was...
I'm sorry, he did what?
You know, he tried to...
I got you.
I don't see Pete running around Seattle doing that, you know? And he didn't do it when he first got to SC, and he didn't do it after Carl Durrell left.
How about Ray Lucas going
to... At USC, Pete Carroll finally found his calling. His boyish, enthusiastic style that seemed too soft for the NFL has been a perfect fit with younger athletes. He's now one of the highest paid college football coaches in the country, an estimated $4 million a year.
Get to the inner city.
That's why we work so hard. That's why we train so hard. That's why we focus so much on practicing better than anybody's ever practiced before.
Better than anybody else has ever practiced before?
That's the whole idea. You want to do things better than it's ever been done before, don't you?
Anyway, it's a 60 minutes ball washing. And so the best part about this is all the recruiting people would be gathered over the years, and all the people that run the sites would be gathered at a Crenshaw game or a Dorsey game, or whoever was balling big in the city, maybe Banning or something like that, Carson. And Pete would roll in with Sark and Kiffin, and they'd all have leather jackets in that era and that phase. Now, like Picasso had his blue phase and all the different things, period.
Sure.
That period of Pete Carroll in L.A. is now known, and was known through Gary Paskowitz, God rest his soul, as the Eddie and the Cruisers phase.
Oh, great call.
We got to get Eddie and
the
Cruisers.
Dark side.
You know, hey, what's up, brother? Hey, cuz. Here I am, bro. Hey, what's going on with the Dorsey Dance tonight? Hey.
This is a cable staple from
Look
the early 80s.
Look at me, I'm Pete Carroll. I knew you'd love that.
Love.
And Gary Paskowitz.
Like,
so you'd be sitting at the Dorsey game, and Gary would be like, they're here. Eddie and the Cruisers are here.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Here they are, Eddie and the Cruisers.
A band that never really existed for a song that was really made for a film.
If you think Fever Dog's a good
Michael
band.
And a film that was made based on the success of the song. It was a real snake eating its tail situation with Eddie and the Cruisers. It really was.
If you thought Stillwater was good with Fever Dog, you don't know about Eddie and the Cruisers or Eddie and the Cruisers too.
Remember at the end, Ronnie, what happens? Shows up with that beard.
I'm just trying to forget that there was a part two.
Yes, there was. Because remember, everybody thought he was dead, but then he shows up at the end with that beard looking in that cafe with that leather jacket.
A weird looking dude,
man. Oh, that's so good. Petey and the Cruisers.
The Eddie and the Cruisers phase of Pete Carroll. When he put on the leather jacket, it's started roaming the inner city like Jim Brown in a koofy and started doing outreach to the Rolling 20s and such?
1983 was Eddie and the Cruisers. And you know when you wait 6 years to make Eddie Lives, Eddie and the Cruisers Part 2, probably not going to be great.
But that's what you do if you're like a 60-year-old white man and you want to do outreach. You get yourself a leather jacket and you hit the street. You touch the road.
Don't forget the koofy.
I think the koofy probably would have been more legit. But the whole thing was just about trying to get one over on Darrell. That's the best part about it. Hey, brother, you don't have to be in this MS-13 band. Come on, play Will for me, Pete Carroll. We'll be back with more PMS. Big thank you to Eddie and the Cruisers. Mark Gubazov still to come. Free Things Thursday, David Vasse on AM570 LA Sports.
The Petros and Money Show.
PMS.
Podcasted at am570lasports.com.
Like Kate's in the podcast.
Crossing my fingers.
It's a flex alert today. We'll have another one tomorrow. PMS.
Flex alert.
At the point where it hasn't been, it's not even a flex alert. So yeah, show starts at 2.
No, no, it starts at 3 on Monday when we go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
Oh yeah, 3 to 5.
No, no.
No, it's 2. Like every day, 3 is such a rarity.
3 was on Monday. We started at 3 this Monday.
Because of ED. So I think every Monday is 3 o'clock now.
Well,
right?
I chew it and do it, man. I don't have any trouble.
That's right. I do Blue Chew. We do it here. You know what I say, guys?
Yeah,
you know what I say? I say chew it and do it.
Chew it and do it.
Can you imagine? You're struggling in the sack, and you're trying to figure out where to turn, and all of a sudden on AM 1360 Fox Sports San Diego, you hear Hartman's voice come on the air. Yeah, look at that. Beep it a little bit. Chew it and do it. You know what, sweetheart? We're going to try something different.
Hey, look. Let's
see if this works. Show it and do it!
Inspiration comes from unlikely places. Steve Hartman saved my marriage and my boner. Chew it and do it!
Chew it and do it.
Matt, we did find it. Kate, are you still in there? We were talking last about the Eddie and the Cruisers phase, or the Eddie and the Cruisers period of the Pete Carroll era, which meant in the later 2000s, the first decade of the year 2000, when Pete was getting beat in the inner city by Carl Durrell and guys like Tim Cates were going 6 to midnight over it. Remember that, Cates? I think Price, Reggie Carter, a few of those UCLA recruits.
Reggie Carter was a big-time recruit.
Yeah, and Pete missed on him in the city. So Pete, not because he cared about the inner city, because he cared about getting beat in recruiting, put on a leather jacket and did a 60 Minutes piece about what a inner city outreach don't join the Mata Sabatrucha guy he was.
Self-destruction.
We're headed for self-destruction. So here is Pete. We found the part where he's in the inner city. And does it really say he was reluctant to bring the cameras? My God, what a pile of crap.
2 days after the Trojans beat Ohio State, he took us to Watts. Pete Carroll was reluctant to let us bring our cameras here because he didn't want the young people he met to think he was looking for publicity or exploiting them.
Yeah.
Well, he usually travels with no entourage, no security. This housing project is ruled by one of LA's most notorious gangs, the Crips.
Now you face a life without in the penitentiary. Gotta stop killing each other.
Many of these young men have already spent years in prison for gang-related crimes.
I did 10. What you did? 7?
7 out.
Yeah, so we...
It's here where Pete Carroll believes his skills as a motivator and teacher might really pay off. Just like he's taught football players from across the country to play as a team, Carroll's trying to teach bitter rivals they can live together without violence.
You could quiet this thing down. Wouldn't that be that awesome if you did it? Think if you guys were the guys that did it here and you've never been done before.
While he was talking, police helicopters constantly flew overhead.
I think this might be called out as exploitation these days.
They're not used to having someone like Pete Carroll give them his cell phone number.
I'd be happy to do that, you know.
cool. Get your phone out. Well, get your phone out.
David Vasse had it too.
It's motivational. I mean, I met Pete Carroll and he said he would offer his services to me.
He gave you a cell number.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on, man.
This was all happening at 1 a.m. in the middle of football season.
Save somebody's life out here. Save some kid. Give that gift to their mom.
Why do this? Man. What's in it for Pete Carroll?
I don't even care. The last thing I want to do is be trying to get something out of it. That's nothing. I have no connection to that thought. None.
Pete Carroll has given his own money and raised even more cash to fund a program where about 50 former gang members will take courses in conflict resolution and first aid.
I wonder if that's still
They're
going
being on. Trained to help stop violence in the tough neighborhoods.
What'd you blow the horn for, bro?
Letting them know it's us. Protocol.
What's up, guys?
Hey. The night we went out with Carroll,
these men from the neighborhood. Enough. So there you go. That was the Eddie and the Cruisers phase when Pete wore leather. With Kiffin, and they ran around in leather jackets and went to the Dorsey game because they were getting beat by Carl Durrell in the inner city.
Beautiful piece by Ed Bradley. Nothing against 60 Minutes and Ed. Wonderful what they put together.
Well,
but
my thing would be this. If USC calls you, which is certainly what happened here.
We got something for you,
and
Ed.
And says, we're going to run around Watts with Pete Carroll. Just a quick disclaimer about his reluctance to exploit the kids. Probably wasn't enough because it was clearly a promote Pete, exploit the kids piece.
Imagine if you were the two that got that done.
What y'all call that? The ghetto bird, bro? Oh, man. Awesome.
What do you get out of it? Have you ever heard of Dorsey?
Dorsey High. You ever been to the Shaw? Fremont Pathfinder. Lock High Saints. L.A. High Olympian. Anything. Oh, Romans, excuse me. Losing our Olympians.
And are those gangs, Pete? Is that what you're giving me? Are those names of gangs? Is that what you're...
Those are teams that I recruit that I'm looking to get players away from Carl Durrell because I can't stand anybody having any kind of positive love in this town when I'm in here.
Why did you recruit Mitch Mustaine?
I'm a jealous god. That is why. I'm a mean and... I'm the Pete Carroll coaching god of the Old Testament. And I will smite you with fire and brimstone. Remember when he ran into that cop changing lanes in Malibu? I wonder what gang he was doing outreach for then. That was during the football season, during the week, late at night.
The Leo Carrillos.
Was that the Leo, yes, the Leo Carrillo Gauchos?
Actually, it was the No Booze. That's what
the
he
no
was doing.
No Booze, yeah, Kate.
Yeah. Way to go, Kate. What were they saying about me down in L.A.? What was that? We'll be back with more PMS. Word number song coming up next. Mark Gubazah.